Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church weekly sermon. We hope you enjoy this message by Jackie Nelson. For more information about this podcast or for other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
A few years ago, I was driving to New Jersey, a trip that typically takes me somewhere around 4.5 to 5 hours. And although I've taken that drive many times over the last 5 years, I admit I still don't know the route by heart. In fact, I do not leave my garage without first activating and waiting for instruction from my GPS. So this one particular afternoon, as I was driving along, my Apple CarPlay stopped working, which means that the visual map I was following was no longer visible, and all I could hear was the GPS's voice. As someone who very much relies on both the visual and audio instructions to find my way, you can imagine I was nervous, a bit panicked, and seconds away from pulling off on the side of the road to assess the problem and attempt to correct it because I need to be in control. But just as I began to make preparations to pull onto the shoulder, frustrated that this was even happening, I heard with the clarity that would have you think someone else was in the car with me, "Just trust the voice. Set aside what you're used to. Listen to the instructions. Follow the directions. Trust the voice." Now, as a spoiler, I made it. I got to my destination safely with total reliance on the GPS's voice, and the inability to see where I was headed before I got there did not deter me from reaching my destination and then returning home to Rochester safely. But the truth is, I still use both the audio and the visual GPS. But I don't actually need both anymore, and that experience taught me a valuable lesson. I often rely too much on what I'm used to, and sometimes I need to be made uncomfortable in order to experience new things. More than that, and perhaps the hardest to digest, is the fact that I don't always have to be in control. So, friends, I ask you this question. What might we all experience if we simply relinquished the need to be in control and allowed ourselves to be uncomfortable sometimes? Where might we go, and who might we meet if we just allowed ourselves to set aside what we're used to, listen to the instructions, follow the directions, and trust the voice? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. In our scripture passage for this morning, Jesus appoints additional disciples and sends them out in pairs of two. Prior to their departure, Jesus tells them what to leave, what to bring, and what to do while on their journey. No other information is given. The text says nothing about Jesus giving them every detail of the journey. All they know and all we know is that they're given specific instructions and then they're sent on their way with only what they heard to rely on. But I wonder what kind of conversations ensued behind the scenes that were not recorded in Scripture. Certainly someone had to be like me and do what I would have done, which was to question why they had to leave all their belongings, why they had to go carrying only what they had been given. And certainly someone had to inquire about whether or not there was an alternative set of instructions that they could fall back on if plan A proved faulty. Because if you and I are honest, we typically have plan A, B, C, and D to rely on just in case things don't go as planned. But according to the text this morning, the disciples just do as they are told and they stick to the plan. And if you keep reading beyond the pericope selected for this morning, you will see that they not only returned, but they returned with joy. which says to me that things went pretty well on this journey. Trusting Jesus' voice and instruction proved to serve them well, and they made it back with a testimony to share. They came back excited about the mission and ministry they performed, and they were greeted by Jesus with the reminder that because of what they did and to whom they went, their names were written in heaven. Friends, I wonder what might we all experience if we simply relinquished the need to be in control and allowed ourselves to be a little uncomfortable sometimes. Where might we go? And who might we meet if we just allowed ourselves to set aside what we're used to, listen to the instructions, follow the directions, and trust the voice? Now, if I'm honest, I struggle to fully wrap my mind around the relevance of this passage for us today. I struggle to really understand why the disciples were sent and the overall purpose of the mission. But then I reread verse 1, because sometimes you have to reflect back on the beginning in order to remember why you started in the first place. Perhaps that's one thing we can take away this morning, that in moments where we find ourselves uncertain, uncomfortable, and out of sorts, perhaps reminding ourselves of why we started in the first place is helpful. So I reread verse 1, which says, "After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go." The disciples are not sent out to random places and spaces, but are instead intentionally sent to the places and spaces Jesus has intention on visiting. The word in the Greek for intend suggests that one is about to be, do, or even suffer something in the sense of purpose, duty, or necessity. So the disciples, it seems, are sent out to spaces where Jesus has not yet gone, but intends to reach in order to be, do, or suffer something in the sense of purpose or duty. Now, some scholars will say Jesus sent out the 70 so that they could reach those who Jesus wouldn't get to. And they then go on to suggest that we should be prepared to go to the people Jesus might not reach. And while I think there's some benefit to that perspective, the text says he sent them on ahead of him to the places he intended to go. The disciples are sent out on a specific mission prior to Jesus's mission and purpose in those same places. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the significance, so I thought a little bit about why you might send someone ahead, why you would have them go first and then you follow. And what I discovered, or what I came across, was this idea that you dispatch someone or something in advance in order to prepare something. Cambridge Dictionary compares this to giving someone a heads up, telling someone that something is going to happen. And so, friends, if that's the case, Jesus sends these disciples ahead of him to the places and spaces he will later visit in order for the disciples to prepare the people for what and who is about to come. And something about that resonates more deeply with me, because instead of the message that we somehow go where Jesus can't reach, the message becomes that we are empowered to prepare places for Jesus' arrival. In other words, we are called out with the mission and purpose of preparing places and people and then allowing Jesus to do the rest. There's a certain humility in this perspective. It says, yes, we are the hands and feet of Christ, and we are called to be a light in this world, but we do so alongside the one who sent us. We do so knowing that our mission is specific and significant, and we do it in the faith that the Lord is at work too, that the Lord is at work through us, but also with us. And friends, what a humbling reminder that it is, that there is only one Messiah. And that instead of holding on to our own savior complexes, even with the best of intentions, we can instead do our part and then invite the work of the Spirit to do the rest. Now, thankfully, our text for this morning walks us through what exactly it is that we are then called to do. The disciples are given four simple instructions that detail for us what their mission and purpose was in preparing these places. One, offer peace to whatever house you enter. Two, receive the hospitality that is offered to you. Three, do service and restore others to health. And finally, proclaim that freedom and liberation are near. Now, I emphasize the simplicity of just four things because oftentimes we as Christians do more than what is asked of us, and in turn cause more harm than good. Think about it. We make judgments about which house deserves peace and which does not. We assume that our own hospitality is better and more fit than the hospitality of others. And so we refuse to sit at the tables of our guests and then create communities where only we reserve the right to host. We act as though the only place people can be healed is inside the four walls of the church. And so we miss out on opportunities to go and do service. And we get so caught up in who deserves to be free and who doesn't, that we only proclaim liberation to those who fit within our own ideas, ideologies, and identities, and find ways to keep others in bondage. But friends, here Christ says you need only to do these four things. I don't need you to prejudge the situation. I just need you to offer peace, receive hospitality, do service, and proclaim liberation. And so after Christ helps us to understand what we are to do, here comes the how. And it's here that I turn to the fifth piece of instruction that Jesus gives, which is actually the first. He tells them to leave their purse, bag, and sandals, and greet no one on the road. Now, our money, our bags, our sandals are things that typically provide comfort. They are our possessions, those things we hold dear, those things that provide us with some element of privilege and stability in the world. Our greetings, those greetings that we give to people on the road, are typically offered to those we know who we happen to see in passing. They are the familiar faces of friends, family members, and acquaintances who likely hold the same ideas, ideologies, and even identities as us. So it's not lost on me that the very things Jesus commands the disciples to leave are those things that provide comfort and that often keep us from journeying beyond our comfort zones. What does it mean that Jesus would disarm them of the very things we are so used to carrying as armor against others? I ask again, what might we all experience if we simply relinquished the need to be in control and allowed ourselves to be a little uncomfortable sometimes? Where would we go? Who might we meet if we just allowed ourselves to set aside what we're used to? What stuff do we carry that Jesus would tell us to put down? What thoughts, traditions, treasures do we cling to for comfort that Jesus might call us to leave behind in order to be used as laborers in the harvest? But more than that, friends, if we were asked to leave them, would we still be willing to go? Now, these are rhetorical questions, of course, but they are questions I hope we'll ponder beyond our time together this morning. They are questions that I hope we'll consider as we move ahead on our own journeys. As disciples of Christ, we too are being asked to no longer carry certain things as we move into the spaces and places that Christ wants to transform. We are being asked to put some things down in order to properly pick up the work to which we have been called. We are being asked to consider what might be in the way of the work that we have been called to do. And as disciples of Christ, are we willing to count that cost? Are we willing to practice sacrificing and setting aside those things that hinder the work of Christ and the work of the church in this world? Are we willing to release control and be uncomfortable in order to follow Christ? You see, friends, it's natural and easy to hold on to these things when we are in control of where we are going. But what I like most about this passage is that the places and spaces are unnamed. We as readers have no idea at this point to whom or to what the disciples are being sent, which means going in the first place requires the disciples to fully trust in the one who is sending them, and more than that, it means not getting to self-select their mission fields, not getting to choose for themselves who and what are worthy of the peace they carry, the service they'll render, and the liberation they will proclaim. It means not getting to choose who offers hospitality to them. In other words, the unnamed places and spaces of this passage suggest to me that we don't get to choose our neighbor. We don't get to pre-select or self-select with whom we will share God's love. We are just called to go on our way and share the love of Christ with all. What a radically inclusive hospitality and discipleship paradigm to embrace, especially in times like these. I ask you again, what might we all experience if we simply relinquished the need to be in control and allowed ourselves to be a little uncomfortable sometimes? Where might we go? Who might we meet if we just allowed ourselves to set aside what we're used to? What barriers, biases, and beliefs might be shattered in our personal and communal lives if, as disciples of Christ, we embraced this kind of radical inclusivity? The kind that just goes and shares peace, hospitality, service, and liberation with all. Now, we already know that the gospel story goes on to reveal that the places Jesus transformed called him to share space with the very people society deemed unworthy. They were the outcast, the oppressed, the ostracized. And by doing this, we come to know that the love and light of Christ breaks down barriers, biases, and beliefs, and chooses to embrace all. It seems like our present world could use some of this transformative love right now. And so it has been said that any time of great pain is a time of transformation, a fertile time to plant new seeds. And considering the pain of this moment in our nation, the very layered pains of injustice and division we are experiencing across topics and issues, I think now is a great time to go out as laborers into the harvest and do the will of the one who sent us, to plant new seeds of peace, hospitality, service, and liberation, being sure to be intentional about listening for where God is sending us. Friends, perhaps in this season we are being called to set aside what we are used to just listen to the instructions, follow the directions, and trust the voice. And I know it's scary work, it's uncomfortable for a reason, but the good news, it's just as the disciples were sent out in pairs, we too do not have to go alone. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, to live fully, to serve all, and then repeat.